Hello. Could you please state your name, profession, country of origin, and where you work and live at the moment?
My name is Jörg Fiedler. I'm from Germany and I live and work in Switzerland. And I'm a flute maker originally. I studied modern flute played in a modern orchestra, in various baroque orchestras, and today I'm working as a teacher and player and scientist, musicologist.
Okay, and you teach basically Baroque and Renaissance flute, or also modern flute?
Recorder, modern
Record, okay.
flute, baroque flute.
Okay. Do you own any copies of Otete Rottenburg Fader or Grenzer traversos? And if yes, which ones and from which makers?
In historical order, in chronological order, first one is a well, kind of copy, a remake from the Firenze Renaissance flutes. From those, I've got two by Rudolf Tutz, a very old one, and by Martin Wenner. And next one is Pierre Naust by myself.
Yeah, I mean, if I was asking if you have any Otete, Rottenburg Fader, or Grenzer, because maybe you have many other flutes, of course.
Now I have a Grenzer by Martin Wenner. No Rottenburg. No Otteter. Rottenburg Faser.
Rottenburg Fader, you have?
Yeah.
From which maker?
Alain Wemels.
Wemels, okay. And do you build or have you already built any of these, any copies of these three instruments? And how many, if yes?
Not of those instruments,
No, okay.
different types.
In the maker's point of view, because maybe even if you didn't build them, didn't make them, maybe you know, what are the main differences between these three flutes?
It's hard to say. I think as we look at the maker, for me the main point is the strictness and precision of work, and they are very different. But for example, one of those flutes is less precise, but obviously has more fantasy, more
Which
imagination.
one?
I think the Wemels, which does not say that Wemels doesn't work
Yes, of course.
precisely, but it's you get a feeling of the work, and it's not optimized in direction of precision.
Yes, but in general, the Hauteterre flutes and Rottenburg Fader and Grenzer, in general, in the construction, are there many differences? Not your flutes, but in general.
The originals,
Yes, or.
many, many, many. For example, the Otteter type is made with several reamers. So you have, for example, the type I built has a set of seven reamers, and you screw them inside to a certain point, and then you get a kind of steppy bore, and which I think is quite characteristic for three-part flutes and four-part flutes like Rottenburg Fader. And later on, it's technically easier to build a what they call cannon drill, and to have a conical reamer. And so they have a nearly smooth inside bore.
Okay, and Hunter is less smooth.
It's It has those steps. Mm. It has a combination of small cylindrical parts, mm-hmm. which are rounded, mm-hmm. so it's between conical and cylindrical. Okay. You can guess how they came to the concept of a conical flute mm-hmm. by trying different drills, mm-hmm. Löffelbohrer, they're called in German, Brocke Stückulier.
Ah, yes, okay.
And if you begin with a small one, and next is a bigger one, and you end up with a big one, you get a conical bore.
Yes, right. Okay, interesting. And
it's what you normally do to tune octaves.
Okay.
And I presume they tried to correct the problematic octaves on Renaissance instruments and logically got to a conical bore.
Okay.
By trying, uh-huh. trial and error.
Interesting. Okay. And as a player, how experienced are you in each one of these three models? Have you played a lot with each one of them?
Yes.
Okay.
All of them.
In your opinion, and in a performance, in the performer's point of view, which are the main general differences between these flutes, you know, musically, the sound and articulation?
I think they're as different as the respective music is different. They are, out of the expression, they are knives.
Mm-hmm.
So you have got a knife for bread and you have got a knife for meat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better to cut meat with a meat knife and bread with a bread knife.
Yes.
And so, for example, the Renaissance flute is optimized for a... playing with modes, with
mm-hmm.
Within a modal system,
mm-hmm.
and it's a penance to play chords
mm-hmm.
on a Renaissance flute. Whereas on a, for example, hauteur type, it's centered in the low octave,
mm-hmm.
and it speaks very fast. But it's not very loud, so it's a fun making small fingertips, mm-hmm. those agréments,
yes.
mm-hmm. like a bagpipe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's not really fun playing, let's say, a Mozart concerto on with a hauteur. Because you lack the singing second octave and have very sharp, very hard third octave.
Yeah.
Everything goes, but it's not optimized.
Okay. How many different copies from different makers have you tried from these three flutes so far?
Many.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would guess for every type, at least 7.
And they usually tend to have the same characteristics, for example, each hauteur you try, each grand.
No, I think I could say it in, I could put it in this way. If I play a piece, it's my interpretation. It's
mm-hmm.
the same piece, the same music, exactly the same notes,
mm-hmm.
hopefully, as, let's say, Boas or anybody
mm-hmm.
else. But it's a different piece. It's
mm-hmm.
my opinion
mm-hmm.
of that piece. And it's the same with a copy by, let's say, Martin Wenner. It's
mm-hmm.
his interpretation of the given text by Hauteur, Rottenburg Father. And especially Martin Wenner, we talk a lot about those things, and this idea of interpretation is a central idea of Martin, for example.
It changes a lot with the performer, of course, and the maker.
And so he feels not guilty at all to make, for example, the palanca a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
It's his palanca. He doesn't say palanca, but palanca by Wenner.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay.
as I don't say it's Mozart, it's Mozart by me.
Yes, of course. Yeah, but in general, you think hauteurs, even from different makers, tend to have the lower notes better and easier response and smaller sound than later flutes.
It's a general matter of design.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever tried any original hauteur, Rothenburg Father or Grenzer flutes? And if yes, how many and from which collections, if you remember?
Actually, my first traverse at all was the well-known Pianoust in Berlin, mm-hmm. which I could play for half an hour and which infected me
yes.
with playing traverso.
Mm.
And I had the possibility to play a lot of Grenzer-type mm-hmm. flutes mm-hmm. From the Bach Museum in Eisenach, mm-hmm. Bachhaus Eisenach, for nearly 1 year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite an experience. And I had the opportunity to play the Rothenburg mm-hmm. as well, the original. Yeah, and Grenzer, well, there are at least two late Grenzers on the market,
mm-hmm.
And I played originals by both
mm-hmm.
quite a lot. They are not so rare.
So in private collections, those two?
The last one was unfortunately badly damaged.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask if they were well preserved in general.
This one was renewed, unfortunately, by whom I don't want to say.
Okay.
It's a crime. And it's difficult to say whether an instrument is well preserved or no.
Yeah.
They play or they don't play, but you can't tell if a scratch is made by the maker or
yes.
by the user or by anybody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. But they were playable then?
Yes.
All of them?
Perfectly.
Okay.
Perfectly.
Were there significant differences between those originals and in general? I mean, if you tried several Grenzers, did you find two Grenzers? Like you found many significant differences between them and Rothenburg?
I could put it that way. The originals are a class of their own, and mm-hmm. the copies are a class of their own.
But the originals between them of the same maker, have you found many differences?
Not so much. Mm-hmm. The differences between the originals
and the copies
are less than the difference between originals and copies.
Yes, I was going to ask you that after.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So the copies, unfortunately, are a bit more far away
uh-huh.
from the originals.
Yeah. I was going to ask you exactly if you find many differences between those originals and the
yeah.
copies you try usually. So yeah. yes, no, they are.
But you should bear in mind that the originals have 200 or 300 years,
yes, of course.
And the copies are quite fresh,
mm-hmm.
and that could be part of the answer.
Yes. Of course. Mm-hmm. And as a maker, and if you already, so you told me you didn't build any of these copies yet.
No, not those similar types, but not Hauteur, Grenzer and Rothenburg.
Okay, so this this question doesn't apply. But when you make flutes, even with other type of flutes, do you change things? You make them better, and in your opinion?
I try to go a different way. My I look at myself as a kind of apprentice in the
mm-hmm.
shop of the maker, of the original maker, and I try to understand the concept.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I do not try to build an exact copy or even to make it better, than to understand the concept and build a new flute from that concept.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the proportion of the bore.
Mm-hmm.
If I have, for example, I measure relation from, let's say, 18.1 to 11.9. I think it should be 18 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start with 18 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
And if I find a certain proportion within the proportions of the sounding column, I try to think what is meant. I
mm-hmm.
don't try to make a copy like a
mm-hmm.
yeah, like a photocopy,
mm-hmm.
but rebuild from the what I think is the plan.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you would have it, maybe you do. If you would have these three flutes available to you at all times, and you would have to play pieces, different pieces in a concert from the periods of these three flutes, would you change? Would you choose a flute to play the pieces according to the history timeline historically, or would you use your own taste and that would not affect you to choose each flute, what flute to play in each piece?
When you think of the knives, it's clear.
Yeah. Okay.
So I know about the advantage of playing Philidor, Hauteterre, Chéron on a three-part flute.
Mm-hmm.
I know about the advantage of the low pitch.
Mm-hmm.
I know about the advantage of playing Blavet on a mm-hmm. early four-part flute like E.R. Rottenburg. And I know about the advantage of having this singing light, creamy upper register of Grenzer.
Yes.
For, let's say, Mozart or even Beethoven.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you already partially answered my last question. This is the last one. So, in your opinion, as a musician, as a builder, as a maker, sorry, as a player, do you think it's really important in the historical informed musical performance point of view to choose the specific flute for each piece, or do you think that's not so important? Maybe, but you already said yes, right? Yes.
Yeah. My father was a carpenter. And I know it's a different it's a difference if you make a surface by a mill
mm-hmm.
or by sanding or by cutting directly.
Mm-hmm.
And so the tool matters.
Matters, yeah.
And probably I could play the Bach solo partita on a Böhm flute, artistically wonderful, but it's the wrong tool.
Yeah.
And the surface, sorry, is wrong. And it's a for me, it's a dissonance between many details, intonation, sound balance,
mm-hmm.
Attack of certain notes, and the surface of the sound, for
mm-hmm.
example. Or in respect of the Böhmflöte, the different pitch, and it's for me the wrong instrument is like a kind of torn statue.
Yeah. No, I was asking this because some people say what matters is music and the rest maybe it's going to inspire you, but it's not so important. That's what I was asking you,
yeah.
Your opinion as a musician.
Yeah, of course it's if you make a visit, it's the main thing is you coming and being good humored,
mm-hmm.
but it's nice to have a nice suit and
yes.
to be washed and having had a shower and things like that.
Okay, thank you so much. It's really kind. It's really helpful.